Welcome to the Marketing Intern Spotlight. A marketing intern is a listener who's spreading our message authentically. Hear their story, their passion, and their journey. Enjoy.
Yo, so I want to pick up where you were just talking about how Halloween party a couple weeks ago when you were texting me, out of nowhere, just get a text from Mark Dowdle. Why do you feel like you're successful, or why do you feel like you will be successful? Right.
Yeah. Then
I think I responded like,
you had a killer response.
Yeah. Wait, can we read it? Cause it's a good, it's a good response. I put some thought into
you
it.
You said like, it's body armor. I was like, oh,
yeah, this is like me in the middle of work.
Yeah. Taking a lunch break or something
on a Friday. Yeah. Mm-hmm. 11 o'clock. And Dowdle texts me, how do you think you will be successful?
Such a deep question,
but I was just so fired up about it.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. Do you know what sparked that question to give a little context?
Do we have a record over here?
Well, just going through things like personally and with work and just trying to figure out why, like, what's the inner dog, right? Why do you have the inner dog in you? Why do you think that you can be successful? And why do you take those risks when other people don't? And it's trying to get some of the players to do that with football as well.
Yeah.
And so I very simply just asked Declan, why do you believe you'll be successful? Like, fundamentally, why? And then we kind of went back and forth. I'll read this one. He says, the belief is kind of like your body armor. When shit doesn't go your way, your belief in yourself is what keeps you moving forward. Always allows you to pivot and ultimately become better. The confidence comes from a consistent process that yields a result, allows you to celebrate, reflect, and build for the next opportunity. And I was like, oh, yeah. Here we go. I saw him that night, and he was just like, dude, that was a phenomenal question.
Yeah, and that, well, I don't think I ever responded to you to your last text that you had sent. And you're like, the reason I asked you about that was because you can explain it better than me, but of how, like, there's like this inner dog in like all these different people that have come on this podcast, in yourself and in Andrew, and like all these different people, and you're like trying to unpack like why exactly that is, or what is it that's in them that makes them more confident and ultimately more successful than the rest of the people,
or even just like the ability to take that risk that other people aren't.
Okay.
And like finding so much success in yourself, or believe, like having these high goals for yourself and why you think you can achieve those. Like the same way you guys want to take this full time and quit your 9-to-5 and take this full time and make this your lifestyle. What makes you guys believe that you'll be able to do that when all these other people are telling you, it's not going to work out for you, or there's all these odds are stacked in it against you. What allows you to continue pushing and really honing in on what that inner dog is? Like I said, we were trying to figure that out with some of the football guys, Yoakum and I, of like, how do we get these guys to just like play with more aggression and be confident in who they are as players? And so we just started going around asking guys on the team, like, are you a dog? Like, are you a dog? And they're like, yeah, I'm a dog. Like, just, of course. Like, and then you ask them why. Like, give me an example of the last time you were a dog.
Because, of course, they're going to say they're a dog, right?
Yeah.
Because everyone wants to be a dog, but are you really a dog?
Right.
Yeah.
And so some of them on the face, like, oh, I'm a dog because I made this play. Or, like, I put in the work every single day. It's how I was raised. It's all the off-season training that I did. It's how my mentality every day coming to practice. Like, all right, so some people, like, it's the ability to go through that mindset every day. And some people, they're, like, thinking, like, huh, like, I don't know.
I don't know if I am a dog. Yeah. I'm a puppy. Yeah.
But it was a great – so we had a great example of it, like, just the consistent mentality of always preparing for that opportunity. And I think that comes into play a lot of the times. We're preparing for the St. Olaf game, and I walk around the locker room before we go out for specialists, and I see Sam Harridge's taping up his knuckles. Like, what are you doing over there? He said, peanut punches. I go, what? He goes, peanut punches. In practice, we work on peanut punches. You guys
peanut
know
Peanut Tillman?
That. Yeah, Peanut Tillman. He's like holds a record for the most amount of forced fumbles. I think it's like 31 or something, maybe more. And during the game, he was blitzing on the quarterback and then sprinted downfield to catch a receiver and punch the ball out. There was a penalty on the play. It came back, but that was not the point. Point was a couple plays later or a series later, a quarter later, later there was a younger guy who had a very similar opportunity, and he came around instead of punching out like we talk about, he came across and tomahawked it and didn't get the ball out. And it was one of those guys who I had to talk to the day earlier about locking it in at practice on Friday because it's all mental, and just having him lock it in. And I was like, Sam Hare just made that decision like before the game. He made that back in June when he was preparing for the season. And so I was like, oh, the inner dog is just the daily mindset of preparing for the opportunity. So when the opportunity does present itself, it's just, I know.
It's so natural, and you're ready to seize those opportunities. And we were talking about this with Austin and Mark a couple weeks ago when they came on, just about that. There was a one quote that Austin Yoakam had. It was, it's not about me. It never was. And that kind of mindset kind of reflects, and you can dive into this a little bit further, kind of your evolution since graduation and whatnot, but really this, like, what we've been kind of been molded into with St. Thomas football and the kind of community that we had. I mean, it's not about you, it never was, is that belief that you have to be cocky, you have to have confidence, you have to be walking with broad shoulders, but you have to also have the self-awareness to understand that quote, it's not about me, it never was. Because if you just look at it, you can be kind of like, oh, I'm going to hide in the shadows. And you hear that quote, I'm just going to sit back and be a bystander. Or you're going to hear that and you're going to be like, all right, I need to walk with my shoulders back, but I have to understand that this is not about me. I'm doing this for a bigger picture. And that, I think, just that little example of Sam Harris just being ready to punch out, practicing that over and over and over again, is just a small thing of like, I am ready to seize those opportunities. I'm ready to do something bigger to seize an opportunity for this team.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And Coach had a great quote.
Which coach?
Coach Caruso, the head guy, head honcho. He had a great quote this weekend about how you always want to make decisions as you go toward your goal, right? You can figure it out on the fly, but as long as you're moving with intention toward your goal, things are going to work out, right? Doors are going to open up. But again, you also have to consider the fact that there's a couple different other quotes that it uses, but the way we do anything is the way we do everything, right? So if you're going through the day and you're just going through the motions without intention to your life, then you're not going to be able to understand and capitalize on those opportunities when they present themselves. So just like having that daily reminder of what your goals are, okay, and having goals at like the North Star. I talked about this with my boss Alex today. Your goal, you have this one overarching goal. Maybe it's personal, physical, athletic, business-wise, whatever it is, and then you have a bunch of other goals that you set yourself throughout the months, throughout the years, throughout the days. Like, what's your day-to-day to get to those goals? And it's not about the finish line of those goals, but the checkpoints along the way.
Right. So when we were talking about like intentionality earlier, I love that freaking quote of like how you, like, it's kind of the fuel that like keeps the ball rolling towards where you want it to go ultimately. It was fun. So I think back in June, I had texted you and was like, yo, man, we got a Saturday coming up. Like, you want to come on the podcast? Like, it's been too far or too long. Yeah, like, I'd love to have you on. And you more or less responded and was like, no, not yet. I am not who I really want to be just yet, but hit me back up in November, December, and we can hash it out. And I didn't see it at the time. So this is 5 months ago.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, like, I love that answer, first off. Yeah. Like, no one's ever told us, like, just give me some time.
Yeah.
Which is, like, a phenomenal answer and shows the intention. But ever since that time when you texted me that, I've just kind of, like, paid attention a little bit more. And, dude, it's been so cool to see your mindset just kind of flourish and be shared with everybody. I think you've always had that, again, dog or the mindset, but I don't think it's been as fine-tuned or crafted or even really shared with a lot of people. And I'm so glad you're here, man.
I appreciate that. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Because you're a pretty dedicated listener, dude. I had no idea, to be honest, for a while.
I'll text Declan one day about something I hear, and then I'll text Andrew the other day. But, yeah, I mean, what I've been doing lately is just listening, right? I think a lot of times I was projected and I was looked at and looked toward as a leader. But I didn't know what I was doing. And you kind of just have to figure it out. And what Joachim and I talk about quite a bit is these inner demons that we go through. And a lot of the things were us just, we pushed ourselves to the limits. We worked every day towards this goal, and we expected other people to do that as well. And when other people didn't do that, it came down as like pointing fingers and projecting this like hate instead of just like trying to get people to work toward this mission. And so what I've been doing is just listening to what other people have to say. And so when people come on here, there's always this moment in every single one of your podcasts where you just go, whoa. Like, it just makes you, like, not think harder, but think deeper. And trying to internalize that. And, like, everyone's got their own story. And everybody's also looking for the answers. But when you have that aha moment, and you have that moment when you hear someone else say something and it really resonates with you, they're giving you tools for you to use that then you can internalize and project out into whatever you want to do. And so, like, that's why I text you guys when I have those moments. I'm like, this has helped me so much because I'm listening to the words that they're saying, but I'm also hearing the message behind the words, mm-hmm. right? I don't remember who you guys had, but you guys talked about the difference between listening and hearing.
I do remember this, too. I can't think of who said it, though. Yeah.
But, like, that stuck with me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's so true. It's not just about, like, listening. It's hearing the message behind what they're
Steve
saying.
Steve Weigel.
Okay.
Ivy brand.
It was. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
That's awesome that you feel that way too. And that's like the utmost intention of this podcast is to have a listener feel like it's relatable, feel like it's something's resonating, feel like they can take that one thing away and mm-hmm. put in their back pocket. Because as much as we are loose and free flowing, conversational, like we'll take this as many directions as possible and just enjoy each other's company. At the end of the day, we really want to have a mindset that our listeners are going to take something very impactful away that they are just like, oh, sweet, this is, and when you, it's as simple as, wow, awesome, thank you. And then you just carry on with your day. And that's the one little tool that you get for spending an hour and a half with us.
Right. And it's tough because we're not like formalizing it in like, you know, intro music. All right, this is what you should take away from this podcast. Mm-hmm. And like, we make it very formal and like upfront, like, it's the exact opposite. It's just a conversation. And we're getting your story. Yeah, we're asking what your average quality is. We have a few questions that we ask you. But for the most part, it's up to the listener to like make the intention and really listen and try and find something that they enjoy.
Right.
And it's tough too because like we spread so we go across so many different different professions.
Different types of people.
Different types of people. So it's really cool. Like when we come across someone like you or like you come into our lives, whatever. When like it's there, like you get it. Like you explained exactly what our podcast is to us, and we've had these conversations before. But like that's exactly what it is, man.
Mm-hmm. So I'd love to like break down from, and this is kind of a little selfish, but when you started listening to the Backpack a little more, because you've always supported us. You've always been like asking us, what are we up to? What's new? Going to school together and all that.
Yep.
But there was definitely a time when you're like became a little bit more invested and you started listening a little bit deeper. And then kind of walk me through that time frame and then bring me to overall just like post-graduation and figuring out each step along the way.
Yeah. So after football ended in the fall and lacrosse ended in the spring, I was trying to find myself outside of sports, right? And I remember going through a conversation I had with you, Andrew, in the summer about, like, I know these things I want to do. I want to compete in these different endurance sports. I know that's something I want to do. Like, I don't know how to start. I don't know. Like, I just had all these unanswered questions about myself, and how to take those steps. And I felt like your podcast was a lot of those people that were in stage two or stage three, of like, they've already taken those steps. They're about a year or two out, and this is where they're at. So it was like that could be me if I just start taking those steps right now. And it wasn't like the Gary V's or the Joe Rogans who you just can't connect with at that level, because you see the things they're doing and you're like, that's too far fetched. Right.
How would I ever get there? Almost.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I just started listening to you guys. And I was getting into coaching. And what I learned is I really liked the aspect of competition. And I was riding my bike to work, in Brooklyn Center. And
how far was that bike ride?
It was 18 miles one way. So it was 18 there, 18 back. And I was like, Andrew, like this bike ride, it's pretty far, but I want to go farther. And like I was telling you about it, you're like, dude, that's so far. Like, I wouldn't do that. I'm like, yeah, but I know I can do more. Like, I want to do more. And so I signed up for, the Twin Cities Marathon. And it's funny because I signed up the day I signed up, Sam Harrigus again, he texted me. He said, hey, my girlfriend's doing this photo shoot for the Twin Cities Marathon. Do you think that you would come on and like be a part of this photo shoot? It's like, yeah, sure. But I'm not gonna be in the photo shoot if I'm not running the marathon. And so I texted Coach, and he doesn't know this, but he will now. I texted him, I'm like, yo, is it okay if I run the Twin Cities Marathon? It's the Sunday after Concordia, so I'd miss morning meetings. And his response to me was, why don't we hold off for now? We'll see how coaching goes. It was basically like the message that I got was, if you do a good job of coaching, then I'll let you, like, we can have that conversation again. And I signed up that day. I was confident in myself to be able to do a good job. And so I signed up that day, and my training was really bad. I trained for 5 weeks. The farthest I went was like 11 miles, and I got destroyed by the race. I didn't walk, though. That was the biggest thing for me. And so just like really working towards this goal that was something greater than myself that I had to pursue, is where I found myself after school, because I felt lost, right?
Mm-hmm. And that was something that you mentioned when we're having that conversation. I think we grabbed some drinks at the Lowry, and you were just walking through, like, post-graduation. This is what we all go through, and me especially, and I was really connecting with you, of what do I want to do with my career? And I don't want to just be like that, you know, like testing and tasting and all that, you know, like that's what you have to do, but there's also a sense of doing it with purpose. And when you don't have purpose, then you feel really lost, and it's like, where's your self-worth? And now you don't have sports, you don't have football and lacrosse, you don't have that community of continually of hearing like, hey, you're doing something right, or you're not doing something right, let's try to get together and maneuver through it. That's what sports always did with for us, and we were sitting on that same wavelength of, now you have to just go out and figure it out, and there isn't a lot of feedback and a lot of community. And you were biking these 18 miles every single day, and you were thinking to yourself, like, it's not enough. Where I was just kind of coming at it from another angle of being like, hey, dude, you just got to mark that down as a W every single day. Yeah. Like, you won when you rode your bike 18 miles there, you won when you rode 18 miles back. No matter if you think you can do more than that, you did it. Pat yourself on the back. Don't boast over it, but like, pat yourself on the back. And then you took that to the next step further. Like, all right, if I do want to do more, let's do it practically. And you challenge yourself to do the marathon. And that's like, I was just like very impressed of like how you were just kind of slowly pushing yourself to level up and find these things outside of a profession necessarily to make sure that you were moving your mentality down a really awesome path.
Well, I think it also goes back to like having a goal in mind. I was doing those things and I wasn't feeling satisfied doing those things because there wasn't a whole lot of intention behind it, right? I was just biking to work and I didn't feel satisfied by doing that. Or I was going out to run before I signed up for the marathon. I was just going out to run. And I remember you telling me about how your advice to me was find five people that you can have at the end of your day and can basically review your day and say, oh, I'm proud of you. And what stuck with me was you said choose people like outside of your family and your close friends. Choose people that are like the Joe Rogans or people that you see yourself being, because they're going to be brutally honest with you. Your mom's going to love you no matter what. Declan's going to be proud of you no matter what because he's your best bud.
Mm-hmm.
Find those people. And I used that for a bit of time. And then it started to fade off. And the biggest thing for me was I didn't care about any of those five people, right? I cared about if I was proud of myself at the end of each day, right? That's all that mattered, right? If I was doing the things that, you know, I was working towards these goals and I was putting in the work every single day, I was going to be proud of myself. And then it just completely flipped the switch in my head of like, all right, let's write down these goals. What do you want to do athletically? One of my biggest goals, my North Star right now, is I want to compete to win in the Ultraman World Championships. Okay. Now that's the big goal. What am I going to do in the time it takes to get to that goal? I don't want to put a time frame on that because that's just additional pressure that it doesn't need. That goal is going to be achieved if I work day to day to get to that goal. So I set goals for myself next year of 9 different races that I want to do over the course of 2020. Okay. 5 of those are ultra endurance running races, 50Ks. They're just the next step from a marathon. There's a triathlon in Grand Teton called the Picnic, where you bike 22 miles to Jenny Lake, swim across Jenny Lake, and then you bike or you hike up the mountain, which is 10 to 12 miles, and then you do it in reverse. So I'm going to do that with my brother next summer. There's a half Ironman in Madison, Wisconsin, June 14th. I'm going to do that. There's this loop around Mount Hood called the Timberland Trail. It's 38 miles around the mountain, Mount Hood. And there's one that's called the Presidential Traverse. It's in New Hampshire. And it's 18 miles and it's 10 summits. And like if I can get to the end of 2020 and do those, that's just one step. They're achievable, they're attainable, but I don't want to put this pressure on myself where I gotta be Ultraman next year, right? That doesn't make sense. Like I'll be Ultraman, I'll compete in the World Championships when I get to that point in my life. But there's no rush to do that. Like there's a process to how this works.
Mm-hmm.
And just figuring that out, like taking that first step. And that first step was the marathon. And then how do I get better from that? How is my process better? I realized that my process at the time was working towards results instead of the process. So I'd go out and I'd be super happy if I ran 12 miles in one day.
Which was still kind of dope when you got like, I got Snapchats from you and you're like, yeah, I was thinking about running 6, ended up running like 18.
Yeah.
Which I was like, dude, that was sick. Like, it fired me up.
It's great until you realize the next day you're only running one.
Right.
And you're like, man, I'm going this high of high. And then I'm going back down in this valley of only running one and I feel like a failure. And so it's just constant mood swing based on the result of the mileage instead of just going out and putting in hard work every day. And so now I'm restricting it more to time limit of going out and running every day, but running for 20 minutes hard or running for 30 or running for an hour and just putting that time frame of just go out and put in the work for this amount of time and just be satisfied with that.
Mm-hmm. Because it's not about outworking someone one day. That's not like that running that 12 miles is not what it's all about. It's,
right.
It's working towards this quote unquote end goal. It's not necessarily an end goal, but it's something that you want to always push towards. And I think that's the dopest thing. You're not trying to be like, all right, once I run this ultra marathon that it's over. That's all I needed to do.
Right, right.
It's all about having fun and picking all these different things, doing it with people you love, like your brother, and going out and pushing yourself. I am very impressed that you even want to do that, because each one of those is like, I would probably pick one of those for the year and be like, that's my mindset, is go to Grand Teton and swim Jenny Lake and do this mountain and do that. And that would be like where I would probably cut it off. But you're pushing yourself to not the next stop and doing it with intention. I think that's pretty cool. And I hope you find a little fulfillment in each step of the way.
Yeah. And it's about the people that you surround yourself with too. Like, my two bosses, Alex and Andrew, that you guys have.
Busy Coffee.
Yeah,
dude.
Busy Coffee.
When did
we
you
need
start
them
working
to be a sponsor?
Them? I know, dude. We should get them as a sponsor one of these days.
We've been pitching Alex now for a full year.
I've been pitching Alex for a full year now. Alex.
You're listening.
You're listening.
This is good content.
Yeah. I told him today, I was like, we're going to come away with a contract, whether you like it or not.
Speaking of Alex, when did you start working for Busy?
So I started working with Busy. It was a few weeks after we lost to Bethel in football, my senior year.
Okay.
And I was down.
So kind of like a year ago, right around.
Yeah, that was when I was first introduced. So one of my professors, Alec Johnson, guy is a beauty. He is one of the guys that just loved. So what he would do is, I'm a big energy guy. You guys know that.
Oh, of course.
Oh, yeah. And he would make me come into class and get the class going some way or another. So, like, he'd be like, all right, we're not going to start class until Mark gets everyone doing something. So it'd be like a slow clap into, like, everyone cheering, or like give me two claps in Ric Flair. And it was like he just made me do that every day. And he knew I would do it too.
Mm-hmm.
But he also knew when to back off and really ask me how I'm doing. And it was a few weeks after the Bethel game, and he's like, man, he's still struggling after this loss. And so he just asked me how I was doing, if there's anything he could do to help. And then he told me about Alex and Andrew, who were looking for a couple of students to do some market research for them as they were looking to get into the office coffee space for Busy. And I was like, yeah, sure. I'll check it out. And so from then, I did some market research for them. I needed an internship for a class I took in the spring. We only met 9 times throughout the semester. It was, you go out and get an internship, and all the other classmates did the same. And then 9 times throughout the semester, you came together, talked about your experience, tried to give advice to other people who were going through adversity at their work. You would work through problems. And then after the spring semester was up, they offered me a job there.
Sick.
So
that's awesome, dude.
Yeah.
It's what I love the most about Alex, and for the people listening that don't know Alex, he's the co-founder of Busy Coffee, and he was episode 3 of this year. Mm-hmm. So we've known Alex more or less for almost a year now, which is awesome. And you know, St. Thomas guy and everything. But what I really love about Alex the most in terms of like back pocket is like that guy challenges me and Andrew more on what the hell we're actually doing more than anybody.
Yeah.
To be honest, like, it's great having your friends who are like just the back pocket boys, and like, that's awesome.
Your support group.
You got to have them. Absolutely. But Alex has been the guy who's like really helped us formulate what we actually want to do. Like, I'm sure more people will find this out later, but like, Andrew and I are like really reformatting how back pocket's going to look next year in terms of like episodes and direction and whatever. And that all comes back to Alex when I had met him back in, or when we had grabbed beers like in October or something like that. But he's the guy every single time. Like, you know, I actually appreciate it that he's challenged us on like a sponsorship or anything, because like, of course it would be a good relationship. Like there's a good brand association, like all those things are there, but I like the challenge that he poses to us every single time, because there is something more there that actually has value that we're still digging to find. That's why I love him.
Yeah.
Have you kind of found a similar response with Alex, like being that guy that's kind of always challenging, kind of always popping the balloon a little bit?
Oh,
you
yeah.
think you have this grand thing, and then it's like, hey, let's get back down to reality.
Yep. Yeah. So I had an idea that I came to you guys about this ultra marathon tour where I promote the company, and it was this 6-month ordeal, and he basically, I was all excited going back to him, and he's like, no, like, go back to the drawing board. It wasn't like, no, get this out of my face. It was, no, go back to the drawing board, challenge me to make it make sense for the company. But he does a great job of really investing in me as a person, and being a mentor. And he wants to grow busy, but he wants me to grow as a person and achieve these goals that I'm setting for myself. So I talked about the half Ironman in Madison. He's the one that brought that up to me, because, you know, I told him about all these ultras that I wanted to do, and I think I'm pushing him a little bit back as well. Because he's been off the wagon for quite some time in the physical realm.
Oh, he's not working out as hard anymore?
Not as hard. Sorry, Alex. You're going to get exposed right now. But so I think I'm pushing him back, but he's the one that's like, yeah, we're doing the half Ironman in Madison. So you're coming or you're not, but we're going to get a whole bunch of people, and if you want to join that.
Sweet. What's the so kind of backing up into, you know, how many, you said how many races are you doing in 2020?
There's 9 total.
9 of them. So going from like running a marathon, having some fun success or just enjoying that challenge, how did you like make the decision in your head to do 9 races later down, like now in 2020? Like that is kind of a significant jump mentally and physically.
Well, my original plan was to do 23.
Yeah, which is insane.
Absurd. Yo, in 6 months.
It was like one every weekend. And I was just like, yeah, I'm going to go do that. And that's where it's like having these high goals and then just being able to refine them and make them a little more realistic.
Realistic.
Yeah.
But that's great. Like still even what you decided on as like a realistic goal to most would be an insane feat to accomplish. So like gauging that, where does this like motivation to do the 23 come from and then bring it down to 9? But like, where does it even come from to begin with?
Okay. So I think I've been reflecting on that question as we kind of started the episode of like, where does that internal dog come from? And it's funny. My brother texted me this weekend, and
is he an older brother?
He's 3 years older than me. Yes. And he texted me, he's like, I'm watching the Ohio State game. And I just started laughing to myself. I don't know why it reminded me of this, but do you remember when we used to go play 1v1 tackle football in the front yard or the basement?
Mm-hmm.
And I started thinking about that, and I showed Maddie C. Maddie C was dying laughing. But we would go in the front yard, and we would play 4-down tackle football, strap up the pads, everything. And he's 3 years older than me, and I'd get my ass kicked.
Right? Time and time again.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But there'd be those few times where I'd sneak out a victory. Or we'd go in the basement and just there'd be no pads. And we'd, like, now I know why I had so many stitches and ended up in the hospital so much. But I never saw the age or the experience or just all of those obstacles in the way. I never saw those as obstacles I couldn't overcome.
Right. You didn't see them as excuses.
No. And I was like, I did a lot of reflecting on that after he said that. And I always got back up, and there was times where I, you know, called it a day, but a lot of times I got back up went back after it, and just the resilience that that taught me is something that I have in my back pocket that drives me to have these ridiculous goals that, yeah, 23 is a lot of races, probably very unrealistic, but I'd be willing to go out tomorrow and attempt that. Just because I want to find that line, right? There's the Iron Cowboy, the guy who did 50 Ironmans in 50 days in 50 states. And I watched that Netflix and I was like, I want to do something like that, but I want to do it better. I think it goes back to those days in the front yard where my brother would just beat me down and he just taught me to fight. Right. And not in the physical sense of fight, but he taught me to fight. When you're down, what are you going to do? You can get back up, or you're just going to wallow in your pity. And that moment, like those moments when I look back, I'm super grateful that I'm the younger brother. Right. I think a lot of times that I looked at as a disadvantage because I'm following in his footsteps. And I wanted to find my own path, but I only came to the realization that I could go out and do these incredible feats and just attempt, get to the starting line. It's not about getting to the finish line. It's about getting to the starting line.
Mm-hmm.
And he taught me to just get back up and go back at it.
I was going to ask, and you might have already answered it, but do you believe it's more mental or more physical in the sense of why you want to push yourself to do these 23 races, to continue time and time again to put yourselves in these positions? Is it more mental or is it more physical?
I think it's a combination of both, but I think it is more mental than anything, just based off how I handled the marathon. I physically was unprepared for that race. But what got me through is the first. So at mile eight, I hit my first mini wall. And then I felt good for the next couple miles. And at mile 12, I hit my second mini wall. And I just thought about how I got here. Like, how did I get to this race? How did I get in this moment right here? And it was all in my control, right? I looked back at all of the times where I was unhappy with the situation I was in. A lot of those came from me not taking ownership of my situation and pointing the fingers. And in that moment in the race, when I was in a bad situation, I just put a smile on my face knowing that I chose to be here. I chose to put myself through this, and I'm going to get through this because I know I can. Like, I could quit right now. If I could walk off this course and go
grab a burger at Five Guys.
Yeah. I could stop.
Yeah.
But I didn't, because I knew I could do that. The situations in the past, I couldn't do that because I'd laid in my own grave, as they say. I chose that path, and I was going to do anything to finish that race, because at the end of the day, it's what's going to get you through that next obstacle. And the rest of the race, but the next 8 miles, I just had a smile on my face and I was cruising. And then we got to the hill where you go straight up to campus.
All summit, right?
Yep. And that, I saw other people struggling and walking. Said, if there's one thing I do today, it's going to be crush this hill. And I crushed that hill. But it crushed me for the last 5 miles of the race.
Mm-hmm.
But I was proud and happy that I was able to go through this experience during that race. And when I reflect back on it, that's what motivates me to go even farther. It's because you learn a little bit about yourself. At least I do, when I was going for these runs. And it was humbling. It tore me apart. I couldn't walk for a couple of days. And I loved that.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like after a football game where your body's just destroyed, but you kind of love all of it. You know?
It's, oh, yeah. That's yeah. Yeah. That's why we do it.
Yeah, it's why you do it. But it's just that reminder of putting yourself through that pain and how are you going to get yourself out of it.
Right. That's the mental aspect.
That's the mental aspect.
That's dope.
God, that's so fun, dude. I'm excited to see how this all kind of turns out next year, dude. Yeah. Like, that's nine races is insane, but I mean, like, looking at the first one of it being a 50K, how many more miles is that than a marathon?
Six.
So when you're, like, training.
50K is 30 miles, 31 yeah. miles.
Okay. So what does, like, the training look like for that then?
Well, right now I'm just working on consistency. I'm working with Busy and I'm coaching, and it doesn't leave a whole lot of time for me to train at a really high level. Saturdays and Sundays are taken up majority of with football.
Mm-hmm.
And so I might only get a 20 to 30 minute run in a day. But going through that, I'm just building that consistency of, I have this on my phone, the screensaver is quit tomorrow if you feel like, just don't quit today. So when I'm going through those tough situations of just, I don't want to run 20 minutes, just don't do it tomorrow. You can spend all day in bed. You can take a day off from work. You can just enjoy a day off, but don't do it today.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then you ask yourself that question the next day, it's the same answer. Quit tomorrow. Don't quit today.
Yeah. No, it's like, it's a dumb guy's quote. Tomorrow. Yeah. I got all day tomorrow. Yeah. We'll figure it out. And then you're like, then you realize that tomorrow is going to be today.
Yes.
And you can't quit today.
No. Yeah.
There will be no quitting.
You always set that alarm for 6 a.m. and you're just like, yeah.
Do you hit snooze?
I do.
Mm.
Not every day. It's tough to be 100% all the time.
Yeah.
But there are days when I hit snooze. It doesn't feel great.
No, it doesn't.
It's the truth.
I hit snooze probably 3 out of the 7 days. And it pisses me off every single time I do. But I'm like, I know. Just give me the 9 minutes that Apple gives me.
Yep.
And
it is 9 minutes. When you set an alarm for like 5:51 a.m., you're like, all right, perfect. I'm waking up at six. Yeah, but I think I started or stopped hitting snooze on my alarm like over a year ago now, and I've never hit snooze.
I think it was like February, because I swear you were telling Alex this the same exact thing. Like,
was it this year?
Just recently doing it.
Okay,
but that could be me just.
No, but you're probably right. It was either like this
year.
It
doesn't really matter, right?
Yeah, it's like 10 or 12 months. 10 to 12 months.
I don't need
months.
To correct you on that, but I'm going to hold you accountable.
Hold me accountable. I don't hit snooze. I've been doing it for either a year or less than that. Mm-hmm. But it's a fun mindset is why I do it.
Yeah.
Because I've kind of, like, again, you come to the realization where it's just like, that's a win. That's a win if you can hit snooze or just hit stop and get up, dude.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a fuck you to yourself. Yeah. Like, especially when you're getting up as early at like 5:30 just to go.
Because there was a reason why you set that time originally. Like, you set it for that time. Get up at that time.
Yeah.
Get that W versus being like, oh, maybe later.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Having
there was
a plan
like
a is important, though. Like, there were some times where I'd set the alarm and be like, all right, I'll either go for a run in the morning, or if I don't feel like running because it's whatever reason, I'll figure something else out.
Right.
And not having that backup plan is really, really bad.
Right.
I think like a lot of people have this plan A and plan B, which I was doing to myself, like, this do or die. You either run 14 miles today or you don't. And it's just this black or white. What I've started doing is having a plan A. And if I don't feel like doing plan A, I have a plan B that's equally as good or maybe a step lower.
There's still value.
There's still value. You're still getting closer to your goal. Yeah. So instead of like running for 20 minutes, I'll bike for 20, 30 minutes instead.
Right.
Just to work toward your goal.
Continue moving forward.
Right.
Don't settle.
Build a block.
Build a block. Yeah, get your bricks going. Yeah, brick by
bricks.
Brick.
Yep.
Attaboy Mark Amick sitting right there.
Yeah.
Picturing him right now.
Yeah.
So you said in June you want to wait until November, December to come on the show. I'm curious, from June till now, doing a little reflecting. What do you feel like is different? What do you think has grown? What about June to now would you like to share?
Prioritizing. I know Greg says this a lot, but he's always trying. He's like
Keto Greg.
Yeah, Keto Greg. Keto Greg.
Keto Greg's abroad right now.
Where is he at right now?
He's in Amsterdam, I think, yeah. with his sister studying abroad.
Sorry, so irrelevant.
So Keto irrelevant.
No, but I think a lot of the things that changed was surrounding myself with people that were going to push me, and seeking advice from you guys, seeking advice from Yoakum, Keto Greg's like, Mark, you gotta hang out with us more, man. You gotta hang out with us more. And the reason he said that is because he's like, you fire me up so much. I'm like, dude, I think the last thing anyone needs is for you to be even more fired up right now.
Who, Greg?
Greg, yeah, Keto Greg. He gets on his rampages. Let's watch out.
Right, no, I mean, the guy, it's been so fun to see Greg's growth. That's one guy I wish we had on the podcast this year, but it'll just even be better for Greg 2020. But, like, that guy's transformation, and he's always been, like, a motivated, good dude, well-intentioned guy, but now you can kind of see, now that he's found a couple things that he enjoys to do, like, those have just taken off. Like, he's tasted and spent some time, you know, figuring out what exactly he wants to do, and now he's just, like, so invested in it and just loves it.
And it's taken that step. The first time I sat here on this couch, well, I said this earlier, the tools that those aha moments from all the different podcasts, not just yours, but some of the other ones I listened to. Rich Roll's a big influence in my life as well. And it's just taking those tools and then reflecting on them and how you're going to use them. And one of the things you said was like, you got this cool idea. You're going to be on the podcast. You better be ready to go. You said ideas are not reality. And I was like, I love that. Like, it's taking those steps, and you have these ideas. You have this this story you tell yourself about who you are. But the only way that you'll feel confident, and not just feel confident, but just naturally be confident, is if you're actually doing those things that you tell yourself, right?
Right.
And so I had these goals that I wanted to achieve. I didn't know how to achieve them, but I also didn't have the direction, because I said I wanted to run in ultra races. I wanted to be in ultra endurance sports, but I needed a race to work toward, right? And so I set the super high one of the Super Bowl of all Super Bowls in endurance sports, the
Ultraman. Yeah.
Yep. And then there's one race called Western States, which is a 100-mile endurance race in California. That's another, like, it's quite a bit out there.
That's a conference championship.
Yeah, this conference championship. Yeah, I like that. Yeah. Bracket style here. And so the regional, the MIAC or whatever, that's the 2020 goals. Like, those are goals that I can achieve. They're attainable. And just having that direction and an intention to doing those things is what's changed.
Yeah, turning those ideas into reality and filling that. Because this is something that everyone struggles with. And the more and more I listen to podcasts with people that have had a lot of success, you hear this time and time again of filling the void. There's always a void that you have inside of, like, it's something, whether it's personal, emotional driven with, like, a relationship, or it's professional. And people either fill that void with buying new things, or they use these substances, or they set intentions and they grow in that direction. And, like, time and time again, you keep hearing, whether it's a stand-up comedian or it's a serial entrepreneur, turning the ideas into reality, the smallest wins, the process, the writing things down and trying to achieve that every day, not hitting snooze, drinking your glass of water in the morning, and then pushing yourself to the Super Bowl of an ultra marathon. Like, the widest ranges of all of those little things, that is where the success that you find and you try to fill that void over and over again, because it's always going to be there. No matter if you drink your water every single morning or if you actually run that ultra marathon, that void is still going to be there. It's just how you look at that void. And it's so hard, because then you can get negative. And that's where we kind of were this summer when we were speaking. We were looking at those voids as negative things. And that's when it becomes very unhealthy. And you start mentally punishing yourself for not being able to overcome those voids.
And Coach Caruso gave me this quote over the summer, which really helped me embody the change, was discipline is doing the things you need to do over doing the things that you want to do. Maturity is when the things you need to do become the things that you want to do. And so I just decided to make that decision to do the things that I needed to do and like work that process every day. Of I have these goals. They're super hard. I might have to not go out on the weekend and fully embody these things and remove things that I want to do, because I know I need to do what I need to do in order to achieve this greatness that I want to be a part of. And it was just doing that over a period of time. I was like, I love doing these things.
Mm-hmm.
I love waking up and going through my day and having this full day of just doing things that I love and living my life, like running and working with the football guys and working with Busy, and doing that on Friday, on Saturday, on Sunday, when I don't get paid to do it, I'm doing it anyway because it's what I love to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so that just sticking to that process of those things started to turn into things that I wanted to do all the time.
I love that. And going right off that, like one thing that really stuck out to me when like we're talking about like, oh, this really big race, like, or this really big milestone per se. And yeah, those are great things to work towards. But kind of the caveat behind all of it is like, once you get it or achieve it, it's like, you're not any happier than you were the day before or the day after. Like we asked the bro shots who just hiked the PCT, went through this incredible experience for 6 months, and they're sitting down talking about it for the first time. And I think I asked them like, what were you like, how were you feeling like, before, during, and after? And he was like, honestly, this pretty even keel throughout the entire thing. I wasn't any happier on the trail, I think is one of his quotes.
Yep.
And like that hit me big time, because it's like we always spend so much time like hyping up like the one big thing. Like I had a comedy show that I was just like hyping up like my one big comedy show. Was I any happier after that? It's like, no, because the most enjoying, the best part about all of it was like going through the process of like prepping my jokes, getting ready for like the big moment where you just execute, just like all the games. Like the games are fun. We all remember Bethel week and St. John's week and all of the different games we had, but like the best times were going through your whole senior season. If you like look macro a little bit more, like going through and showing up every day with the outside linebackers, with Coach K, and just like the different stories here and there, like those are the things that are, you know, what made us a successful team or a successful football player. It's just those things that you enjoy that you need to do.
Right.
It's such a fun transition. And like, I was thinking about this the other day too. Like obviously we want to take the podcast full time. Like obviously I want to be a comedian. I guess I'm saying that to myself, cause like those are my expectations. Maybe that comes as a shock. My mom, I was just talking to her yesterday and I was like, told her that exact same thing. I was like, well, yeah, like I obviously want to be a podcaster. I obviously want to be a comedian. She's like, what do you mean obviously? I was like, those are the things I want to do. Like those are the things I see the most value in.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, I like didn't realize like you took it that seriously.
So you guys had originally the plan to take it full time 2020.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
That's not gonna happen, right?
No.
And I think going back to what you said is hyping it up and or putting a time constraint on it adds this pressure that just doesn't need to be there.
Yeah.
You guys are going to take it full time. Like that's, I think that's clear. I'm confident in it at least.
Thank you.
I remember sitting down with you. I was like, I'll invest money in you right now.
Yeah. And I was like, don't give us money. Yeah. We don't need it.
Yeah.
No, we're going to blow it.
but like you just have to continue doing the things you need to do and eventually it'll happen. It's not going to make you work any harder. You might just, you might make a mistake or hype it up and come away disappointed. Mm-hmm. When maybe 2020 is just not the time for you guys to take it full time.
Right. Yeah. And we definitely, we were working very hard for like, I'd say the month of August and September, we were working way too hard and we weren't working smart.
Mm.
And that was just kind of a, our stubborn mentality of what we set out to do in the beginning of the season and why we're just like, all right, let's continue to do that because that's what we wanted to do in January. Instead of being like agile and being like, all right, let's drop to one podcast a week, focus on the quality and give ourselves more time to do the things that would make back pocket money versus we continue time and time to resort to making content, providing value over making money. My mom, at when she was up here for the Halloween party, comes up to Declan and I. She's like, Declan, get over here. As she's talking to me. And she's like, stop providing value. Start making money. And like, it makes sense to a point, right? Like,
yeah.
Obviously, we're not going to stop giving value. And that it's never, our intention is always to have that value aspect. But do it with a sense of having some monetary value.
Right.
Because like this live show that we're having, that this podcast will now be released after we had the live show. But we're
phenomenal live show.
Phenomenal live show.
That show was dope.
Yeah. We crushed it. These beanies right here cost us.
They are going to crush it. 14, they did crush it.
They did crush it.
They did crush it. They crushed it.
Everyone loved it. Everyone
was wearing it.
Yeah, everyone was wearing it. It was so cool.
It's like we were in a cult.
We were in a cult. Everyone's wearing these gray things with the pocket on the front.
I'm going to steal the balls off everyone's head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just remove them and they're going to be shocked. Did you break my. No, it's reattachable, I think.
Yeah.
It is? Okay.
Collect them throughout the night.
Yeah. Just be a ball carrier.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Be a ball carrier.
But these hats, be a ball carrier. These hats were $14 to,
ball control.
To buy per pop. $14 a pop.
Yeah.
We're charging $15 tickets because we want to get our money back, but we don't want to like overcharge like our closest group of friends.
Right.
Yeah. We're not, we spent $1,400 buying 100 of these, and now we have to sell 100 tickets to make a dollar on each one. Like, that's not good business.
You guys already did.
We did that.
We did.
We did that.
You sold through the roof.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But and that was like, but that again,
Famous
that goes
Dave
back to
showed
the,
up.
Famous Dave was
Famous
there.
Dave. Famous Dave was there.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
And we still told that story about him.
And he laughed.
He laughed.
He belly laughed.
Yeah.
I had a great conversation with him.
You did.
Yeah.
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 That was sick.
That was good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Took a lot away from Famous Dave.
Yeah.
Because he's loaded with snackable moments.
Yeah.
It was kind of hard to get anything in, honestly.
I know.
Yeah, it's tough.
Famous Dave.
But the intention, even with the live show or any of that stuff, I think what it really came down to, there was like one night Andrew had came home and I was just like super like stressed about something. This was after one of the podcasts where Andrew's average quality was dealing with me on one of the back end shows.
Oh yeah.
And it was like, it was an awesome moment of just like, thank you for doing that and like helping me realize like the dumb expectations I put on myself and whatever. But now like that's totally changed my mindset into just like how presently stoked and happy I am. Like, I have a job that pays me, that I work during the day. I get to come home at night and record podcasts and go to comedy, and I don't have to worry about making a dime for back pocket.
Right.
Like, there's another $1,400 that we got to throw at some hats for an incentive for a live show. Like, we can do that without thinking twice because we got another job that's like paying for it.
Right.
Like, it's not a big deal. It's
and we'll
not
make
like
money. We always do.
Yeah,
we'll make
we'll
the money back.
That's there was two moments that resonate with me. One, there was a moment like that where the, Andrew stopped the show because you were saying like so many times. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
With Piff?
Yeah, with Piff. That just brought me back to one of those moments where just had to get hardcore with him.
It's got to be real.
Got to be real.
Stop. Just stop.
And then there was another moment that showed a lot about who you guys are. Was when Joey Puck was on. That was an awesome episode.
That was great.
When he asked you guys, he said, hold up, guys. What do you? You guys are underselling yourselves. You're not average at all. Like, you're doing all these incredible things. And talking you guys up, hyping you guys up, and I was sitting in my car listening. I'm like, yeah, they are. These guys, they're doing all these cool things, and expecting you guys to be like, oh, thank you, like, yeah, we are. But I think one of you said, like, yeah, but that's not the point. The point is where we want to go with this thing. We're not even close to where we want to be. It's just the ability for you guys to be grounded especially in that moment, just goes back to Sam Harris with the peanut punches. It's just that's you could tell that's how you guys think, because when that moment was presented, you guys went back to your roots and you're like, that's not like we haven't arrived. There's no finish line. Mm-hmm. There's only checkpoints along the way.
And those are shared like mentalities that we all have. And that's what the coolest thing is, like we're not in it alone. We're the people that we have closest to us are in it together, really. And I think that's pretty awesome. Whether it's like back pocket community, whether it's like our friends from the St. Thomas community, whether it's your family, like we all come from like really awesome situations. We're very grateful. And I think we all understand that too. And that's what's allowed us to be where we are today. And we have a mindset of all the time at all times of we are standing on the shoulders of the people that got us here.
Right.
And that's why you're a quote unquote dog, because you know you're here for a reason. You know you got here because other people laid the foundation. And I think it's really cool that we get to sit here for an hour and a half, reflect on that, push each other a little bit mentally to be a little bit cleaner with everything. And we can listen to it a year from now, 6 months from now, and just be like, okay, this is where I was at then. Have I gotten a little bit better? Have I pushed myself? Is there a little more fortitude?
Right.
All these various things. And really, we're just up here in our attic thinking we're talking to thousands of people.
Yeah.
Like, we have a mindset right now of like people are listening, when really, I don't know if they're listening.
Who the fuck's listening?
Who's listening?
We got to start doing that more, because when we did that last time with, I forget who we did it with, but it was like in the hour. It's like in the hour.
It was with
mark.
The intern podcast.
Yeah, it was the intern, like towards the end when we were talking about like a potential sponsorship with Devani's. Like one of these guys,
or a listener,
a marketing intern out of nowhere, DMs us and was like, yo, so how'd the pitch to Devani's go? I'm like, dude, sweet. We got to like.
He made it to minute 45.
He made it to minute 45 of an hour. That's 75% of the podcast.
Yeah, I mean, are you talking about just the live feed in general?
No, just our podcast, because we don't know duration. We only know who clicks play.
Right.
Yeah, so
right.
We have no idea how long people make it. So when we get these this far, making the sly comments of like, who's really listening now?
Yeah.
Because you're so deep in the box. It's funny. Yeah.
I tune into the live streams every once in a while.
Okay.
I'm always so shocked about that. How many people actually like spend a good like 5 minutes just listening to the live stream, or however long? I don't know.
There's a whole lot of people. I don't know if there's a whole lot of people. I'm always in there. I'm like by myself and I just see random people show up.
Yeah.
It's like four people.
Four people. Four people right now.
Yeah. That's the other thing too, though.
It's one person right now.
Yeah.
One person. Who's the
one? So we just got like one person hanging out with us.
Oh, it doesn't say at all.
No, we don't know.
I could figure it out.
Yeah. Couldn't figure it out for the life of me. But what's like.
But that's not the point.
That's not the point. It's never the point.
The point is we're here on a Monday night. I just got back from Atlanta. You had a long day at work. You picked me up from work.
Yeah.
And we're sitting here. We're having LaCroix and you got your
water.
Your water. And we're just sitting here trying to better ourselves. I think that's pretty fucking cool.
I usually fill this with coffee. That's the problem.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
A lot of busy. Mm-hmm.
It's what gets you through the day, though.
Little caffeine, little busy.
A little caffeine, little busy.
And if you want to buy Busy, there will be a promo code that Alex will now send us because we're signing the contract.
Yeah.
Alex, the contract is here.
But yeah, go buy some Busy. Yo, I was hoping you were going to throw a sick transition to average quality.
I was feeding into it.
Okay.
I was.
Should I just say something else?
No, you should just go into the average quality.
Okay. Okay.
That just works. Jump into it.
Well, oh yeah, go ahead. Okay. I was going to say, if he's got something sick else to say, I kind of want to hear it.
Oh, well, you were just adding on to the, I do have something sick to say, but always got something sick to say.
He looked all giddy over there. Like,
well, no, it's always so fun to, like, document where you are now, because it just provides so much perspective of, like, we all just had, like, a crazy day, and what brings us all together is, like, just a podcast. And I just think that's so cool that, like, we buy in. Like, last night, I stayed up till, like, 12:30 last night and woke up at 5 to go to work. But last night I'm sitting there editing the last of the Ben Lieber videos. And I do this every week. Every Sunday I produce an entire podcast, throw 8 hours at it, and put it out on Monday. And it was very rewarding today, knowing that the video that I was grinding and had just finished exporting at midnight last night, less than 10 hours later, becomes the biggest or the most viewed video in Back Pocket history. And it doesn't even come close on Twitter. It had like, it's over probably 20,000 views now. It's just like a funny dumb video of Ben Liebert.
It's not a dumb video at all.
It's no, not a dumb video. It's just funny.
Awesome video.
It's awesome.
It's him talking. It's Leslie Frazier telling Ben Liebert to give a pregame speech for the Vikings.
Yeah.
And he gives the speech, and it's just like a fuck it mentality. And it was incredible. And to see the time and effort that you put in to Twitter, to Instagram, to Facebook, which is really, why do we put so much time in doing it? Because we just want, we want people to see what we're doing. And then Ben Lieber buys in, he retweets it, gets a chain of people commenting on it, 20,000 people view it. That's really cool.
Yeah,
and it's awesome. And it's a thing that we were able to build.
How do you think, how do you think your day was pretty good because of that, right?
Yeah, it was just, it was nice to have some like gratitude of just like the reinforcement of like the things that I do all the time. It's like finally there's one that like finally hit. It's like it's just a funny, genuine funny video.
Yeah.
I was going to ask, what do you think your mindset would have been if it didn't, like, did you have the high expectations before you put it? Okay.
No, not at all.
Okay. And I think that helps then too.
Yeah.
Cuz every single video we make or Instagram post we make is just like, I just want them to see this.
Yeah.
And I don't care how many people, but this is like, this is the funniest thing that I see, or this is the most impactful thing that I felt from the podcast. If people buy in, that's awesome. If Instagram's algorithm works this time, sweet. But if we think that, if we're trying to do all this for getting going viral, we're in it for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it would destroy me if I like put all the time and effort in there thinking that it would be like getting millions of views every single time.
Right.
I just hope so. I just, yeah, it would be awesome.
You hope for it.
Oh, you always hope for it.
Exactly.
Yeah. But like, I just like want to genuinely share the happiness that I had in this very moment of the podcast.
Right.
Like I'm dying laughing like to myself throughout Sunday, putting motivational music behind Ben Lieber just saying, fuck it. Fuck it. Fuck it all.
It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. And I'm just like dying laughing by myself at like 10 o'clock at night. And I'm like, God damn it. Like, I don't really know where this is going to go, but I'm excited.
I'm loving it.
So. I don't even care. And that's like my, that's actually kind of one of my average qualities.
That's a perfect transition.
That's one of my average qualities is like when I make a video and I think it's funny and I think it's funny. Like probably the reality is most other people won't find it as funny as I do,
right.
But I will make sure that everyone sees it and try and share that just with people around me and stuff. And it's like, it's so obvious sometimes when it's just like, people are like, yeah, dude, it's pretty funny.
Like, yeah.
Get over it.
Get
over
it. A little
scroll
bit.
Past it.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's my average quality. What's yours, Mark?
My average quality, goes along with being complacent. And then combining that with setting realistic goals. So, you know, I reflect back, I look at myself a year ago from now and I am loving where I'm at, right? I'm loving the decisions that I'm making. I have a lot of opportunity at my hands. But not getting too caught up on that. Like I feel good about waking up every day. And trying to silence the side of me that's really hard on myself that says, you shouldn't feel good right now, right? When you have these high standards, you don't want to reflect back. Matthew McConaughey, remember when we were going through fall camp, there was a video that was shown to us during fall camp.
When he wins the Oscar.
Yeah, and he says, my hero is myself in 10 years. And then in 10 years, I'm going to ask myself that same question. And my hero isn't going to be me in that moment. It's going to be myself in another 10 years. And it's that constant growth of understanding that a year out from last year made a lot of growth, but not getting complacent and trying to find ways to grow even further. And not having, like we said, these crazy goals of doing 23 marathons in 6 months.
But or doing, quitting your job in 2020.
Yeah, 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 right? But, like, having goals where it's like, I'm going to work towards those. So it's the complacency aspect of reflecting back and seeing that you're in a better place. But how can I go even further? And so it's that constant battle of being super hard on myself, and then saying it's okay to smile and like be happy where you're at. And it's just like trying to find that balance. So the balance of those two things is probably what my average quality is.
Right on. That's so awesome. And it's fun because there are those moments where it continues. You're like, I did it right. This is how I want to do it every single time. And then like it slips a little bit, or you become so good at it, you want to push yourself a little bit further.
Right.
And that's the best part about the average qualities, because it's only average to you.
Mm-hmm.
And you could be the world's best at it, but you're looking at it average because you want to get a little bit better at it every single day. And that's the best way to look at the average quality. So awesome response, Mark.
Yeah. So it's always evolving.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
Always evolving.
Like, yeah, just being okay with what comes along with that.
With failure, with success. And
were you about to ask his average quality?
Yeah, I was about to ask what your average quality is.
My average quality this weekend was...
This weekend?
This weekend.
Okay.
With being with my family and my cousins.
Cousins?
It was really cool for me because I was with my mom's side of my family and her brother and his kids. And then my dad's sisters and brother and his and their kids, because it was just kind of... It was a wedding where there was both parties involved.
Big family.
Big family. Yeah. Both sides of my family were there. It wasn't just like I'm only with the Inceras. I was with the Goodhues and the Inceras. Really cool moment for me. And I definitely think I could have been a little bit more present the whole weekend. There was a sense of me hyping up the moment, like kind of how you mentioned you had your 10-minute comedy show and you were really looking forward to this. You were trying to you could have potentially only find value in winning that moment, or instead of just appreciating the experience. I don't think I did the best job this whole weekend at being in the moment. I was just trying. There was too much of me, like always, time and time again, looking to get more and more out of it in a sense that probably wasn't just grounded. Mm-hmm. And be like, all right, this is awesome that I have all of this in front of me. I don't know if that entirely makes sense.
No, it does. In that moment, you felt yourself going through that?
In the plane ride home. I was just sitting there by myself. I was like, did I have fun this weekend, or was I trying too hard to have fun this weekend?
Hmm.
So you were it's kind of in Mark's sense where you were like, you were not congratulating yourself for the moment you were in, essentially.
I wasn't living in the moment necessarily. I was always trying to do look a little bit more. A little bit more or something. I don't know. It made sense in my head.
We watched The Secret Life of Walter Mitty on Friday.
Hell yeah.
That's a great movie. Gets you every time you watch it.
It's such an underrated movie. I feel like not a lot of people. Maybe. I don't know. Was that a critically acclaimed movie that everyone saw? It was? Okay.
I hadn't heard of it until we watched it.
In football, yeah. I never saw it until then either.
I love it.
So if you're listening and you've never seen it, yes, go see it.
Yeah, definitely go see it.
And just that moment of let's just call it a ghost cat Walter Mitty.
Oh,
I don't know if I did that, and I might have done it, but I don't know if I did it to the extent that I wanted to necessarily with what I actually had in front of me, because that'll probably never happen again with those people.
No.
With my mom's side and my dad's side family, and it's a whole story in itself. But
how are you gonna grow?
I have an opportunity to see my family again at the Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Mm.
So those will be moments where I can take a step back.
I thought you were going to say you're just going to look for marriage. So you can have everybody that back.
Again. That's going to be my wedding. We'll have that.
Yeah. Think outside the box.
It just works.
It just checks out.
You know, speaking of just watching things in football, you know who you guys should have on the podcast? Heather Dornadin. You remember the video we watched about never giving up?
Oh, yeah, the U of M runner.
The U of M runner. Her last name is actually Kampf now. I think she got married.
Okay.
But you should have her on.
Yeah.
Because that video is infamous in the St. Thomas football culture.
It is.
But, like...
We've never talked to her.
No.
No one knows her.
No. Just from that video. That's how we know it.
Yeah. That's so true.
It's a legacy rep that she'll never know. She'll act so much of St. Thomas.
She's got to come speak to the team.
Yeah. She doesn't know that there's like 500 dudes that just know her from that video. Yeah. Alone,
it's the very ultimate excited. Every year. Yeah. That's
fun. That video gives you chills, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So nuts.
But then transition to that next question, the back pocket question. When pressure becomes stress and anxiety is rising, what do you hold in your back pocket to overcome these situations?
Something we talked about earlier is just that resilience to compete. Started at an early age with my brother, and just attacking everything with that like utter disregard for your body when it comes to sports. And I think the challenge was trying to find a way to do that outside of sports and just having this utter disregard for my ego and understanding that if I'm working towards a goal, if I'm feeling insecure about something, whether it's talking to people, I'm not great at having conversations with people, which I'm a big extrovert. So some people are like, "That you're full of it." Like, but sometimes it is hard to push yourself to go talk to people. And so just having this utter disregard for my ego, knowing that it's for the betterment of whatever I'm doing, and like being able to start that off.
Mm-hmm.
So just resilience. I shared with you that video today, the Happy Monday. Mm-hmm. And I was like that's embodies me just competing and not caring about my body and just putting it on the line for the team and just that scrappy resilience.
Yeah, the reason why you extended yourself and sacrificed your body to steal that ball.
Yeah.
Yeah. Happy Monday.
Oh, it was Happy Monday. I'm going to show that to the corner group tomorrow.
Yeah. Perfect.
Dude, attack the ball, man.
Yeah. Resilience.
So have you actually been showing like your corner group's back pocket, just been to slowly influence on them?
So part of fall camp was a lot of meeting time in just watching film and getting to know the defense. So we were spending a lot of time together. I don't do it anymore because it's quick in and out. We got 20, 25 minutes before practice. So it's like, we got to go.
Mm-hmm.
But I was trying to find different ways to get guys engaged. And I'd throw on music in the background when we were watching film and learning the defensive installs, or throwing on, like I threw on Jordan Roberts's back pocket.
There you go.
Get to know your coach a little bit, just because they're not like, you got to understand if we're in there for an hour going over defense, they're not going to be locked in the entire time.
Right.
Like they're just not, they're going
to, you got to find moments to re-engage them, re-spark those.
Right. Yeah. And so having something going on in the background that they could gain value from, like learning about Coach Roberts, I thought was important. And I noticed that the room was a little more lively and guys were engaging more with the content going on with football,
mm-hmm.
instead of the room being dead silent and this being an eerie sort of silence in the room.
Right.
Where it's me just talking at these guys and trying to teach them the defense instead of them like teaching each other and engaging in conversation.
And it's a challenge to maintain that engagement, right? You're trying to push them to learn this material and teach it appropriately, but you have to make sure that you're being relatable and breaking it down in a step-by-step process. That's a challenge in itself. That's something that we challenge ourselves with every single day, with the new guests that come on our show, to re-engage our audience, to re-spark these moments. And I want you to continue this train of the Mark Dowdle mentality. And is there someone out there that you can challenge us to have on the show and when season 4 in 2020 breaks out? Because you are our last marketing intern spotlight.
Oh, I know.
That we will,
the finale.
That we will ever do.
Yeah, you're the last one of all ever. Time.
We're breaking the marketing intern spotlight tagline is going away.
It's gone. Is that breaking news?
That's breaking news.
Yeah, breaking news.
Breaking news.
So thanks for being our last marketing.
Yeah,
intern.
So thank you.
Guys, this is an honor. Wow.
What do we finish with? 62 of them?
Something crazy.
That's crazy.
A lot.
It's a lot of people.
Mine is, I know it's been mentioned during the IO podcast, but she's my hero. It's Courtney Dewalter.
Oh, yes.
You guys gotta have her on.
Yeah.
Not to say, like, I've always had heroes, but I've never, it's just weird. I've never had, like, a female hero, right? I've always looked at, like, the top athletes in the male profession, right? And Courtney Dewalter blew my mind. I was like, she is awesome. She's running. She's not only running, but winning all of these ultra endurance competitions. She won the Moab 240. Like, just an absolute, like, beast.
And she's the one that slept for, like, 10 seconds.
10 seconds.
And it was like, she's like, that's the best rest I've ever had.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
Yeah. So, just a complete animal. She's from Minnesota.
Yeah.
She's been brought up on the podcast before with Io, and I think it'd be super cool to have her on.
Yeah.
Oh, challenge man. Accepted.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We got to find a time when she's back in town, though. So we'll rely on you for that, to be honest, because you're in the running community now.
I mean.
So you'll know.
Just getting my foot in the door, but.
Yeah.
Entry level.
Entry level.
We'll make it happen, dude.
Yeah.
God, she'd be a dream come true.
Absolutely.
She's a hero of mine.
Dude, yeah, she's my hero. She's my hero.
She, like, I forget what race it was. It may have been, like, one of the Moab ones, but it was, like, one of those longer races, and, like, the next closest person to her was, like, 8 hours. Like, she could have got a full night's sleep in and still beat the second place person.
Yeah.
Crazy.
And if you go back and, like, if you listen to her habits, like, her eating habits and her diet, she just,
yeah,
nachos and beer.
Yeah. That's a Joe Rogan. Yeah, Joe, like, Rogan asked, like, "Oh, what's your, like, your, what do you eat?" She's like, "What's your favorite kind of food?" Like, training. She's like, "Nachos and beer."
Yeah,
it's crazy,
so nuts. But yeah, I definitely need to get her on at some point. I want to get on the biggest names now at this point. Just see how many big names can back pocket pull off at this point.
And she's on that list.
She's on for sure.
She's absolutely. She's top of the.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
especially in that community.
Yes.
One thing I wanted to ask. So hopefully, you know, who's listening at this point. Who really cares? But
millions of people.
You're, like Andrew had said, we're bringing in the Mark Dowdle audience. Maybe this is a listener for the first time that stuck with us this long. What episode or podcast of ours would you tune them into?
Man, there's so many good ones going through my mind. It's because I've listened to all of them.
That's so awesome.
It's hard to pin. I think the Joey Puck one is really good.
That one's good for understanding who we are.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's different, like, what are you looking for? Are you trying to understand who these guys are? I'd say the Joey Puck one.
Mm-hmm.
The Bro Shop Brothers one, that was a recent one, but they had a super cool story. I'm trying to think of someone who, I thought Unreal, Michael.
Michael Jordan.
He had a very cool story. That was a moment that I think of that's like one of those aha moments where he just had, like, he just got screwed over by the guy who was in business with him.
An adult. That was
an adult.
When
that
he
just
was
took,
18.
Mm-hmm. Just took advantage of him because he just didn't know any better. And he just said, all right, I'm going to go do something else and I'm going to do it better. And so if you want to listen to a story of resilience, I gathered a lot of tools for my toolkit on resilience from Michael.
Those are awesome. Joey Puck, Broshat Brothers, Michael Jordan.
Yeah, what is that? So
shout out Biker Broshat, though.
Biker Broshat's a man.
Biker Broshat, looking at you.
Store brand.
Yes. Store brand. Yes, that's right. When you go across the globe, you got to take me with you
mm-hmm.
on that biker trend. He went...
All the way around the country.
Yeah.
Country. All right. Now he's right. Like, how what, we were asking, like, hey, what's coming in the future for you, man? He goes, I don't know. Probably, like, I kind of want to bike around the world.
And I was like,
just, like, so one off.
Yeah.
And I'm sure people were listening to that, like, yeah, he's just kidding. And I thought of that when he said that. I'm like, oh my God, that sounds unreal.
Right.
Yep.
So I followed him immediately. He followed me back. I was like, oh my God.
This guy's
sick.
Yeah. Well, we'll wrap it up here with two final questions, Mark. We've been hammering you with questions, and I think they've been pretty good questions.
They've been good.
Great answers, though. But we'd like to open it up for you to ask us some questions.
So this goes back to, I don't know if you guys answered it in full extent the last time, but Ben VW asked you guys, what was, in the past year, what was the most impactful thing that someone said to you? And he said either on the podcast or not. Do you remember this question that I
yes.
asked you?
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to know if you guys have had if you have thought about that even more, because I loved that question.
No, it's a great question.
Where, you know.
And we got that in March of this year.
Yep.
And now we have done 100 more podcasts of that. And that's always the game that that we play, is like, what content do you retain from having all these conversations? Because mm-hmm. you have so many of them. A moment that has stuck out to me more than the rest that I've heard. I think the Boatchella story of the old guy coming on the podcast,
yeah.
or coming on the boat, and just turning to Declan and I and saying, like, I don't know if it verbatim, if it was like, that was the best moment of my life, or thank you so much for showing the best part of Minnesota, something along those lines. Like, that was really cool from, like, a someone that's never engaged with what we do, and to receive the fullest of what we do in an hour or two with an event.
One that I have in particular, I shared this on the very last thing of Backend Show 37 with the interns. It was a feel-good story. Did you? I don't know if you got this far, but this is a listener of our show that we've never met before, and he sent us a voice message on our podcast hosting platform, and more or less just said, like, thank you so much. I've listened to almost every episode, and you guys are the epitome of, like, whatever you have today, no matter how average you are, you can still live the dream every single day with what you have. And I was like, that is so cool that, like, he picked up on that,
yeah.
or like that he was giving us that kind of recognition. And really, what is he saying? Like, what he's really saying is, like, you guys are just making the most of what you have,
right?
And what you're blessed with. And, like, you're just recognizing that, being grateful for it, and then trying to build off of that as much as you can. Like, there's really nothing inherently special about, like, what we do on the back pocket. You're like,
we're not reinventing the wheel.
We're not reinventing the wheel here. Like, someone just like, oh, you guys are on Joe Rogan level now that you had, like, Ben Lieber on. And I was like, we've always been on Joe Rogan's level in terms of what he's doing and what we're doing.
Right.
Joe Rogan's interviewing the biggest names in the world. We're interviewing the biggest names that we're, like, that we have right now that can come over our house on a Monday night. Those are the people that are coming on this podcast right now are the biggest names that we can have, that we can touch.
Dominate the sandbox.
And dominate sandbox. Exactly what Lawrence said. Another great thing that he said, you know, what was it? Reach the people you can touch, or I can't remember what it is, but just, like, hang out and be around the people that you can physically touch and interact with. And those are your most important and, like, the best relationships that you'll have. It's incredible. Like, I'm going to Thailand. Here's another one. Sorry, I got another one. It's just flooding through.
Yeah, yeah.
Steve Weigel. If you haven't listened yep. to that podcast,
oh,
my
I've
God.
Listened to that.
So he, at the very end of that podcast, he invites Andrew and I to go to Thailand with him. And at the time, we were like, dude, this, like, from the second I heard that, I was like, I gotta go. And yeah. now, fast forward, I am going. And we just had, like, our debriefing meeting last night. And the people going on the trip are all people that Steve had just asked, kind of, not on a whim, but just, like, through a genuine connection.
Yeah.
So I'm in a room with, like, 14 other people who were like, yeah, I met Steve 2 years ago at the Warped Tour event when he was selling longboards, and, like, we had talked for 30 minutes, and I just thought Steve was such a cool guy, and Steve invited me on a trip.
That's sick.
I met Steve because he flew down to California and delivered a longboard to my daughter. I met Steve, you know, it was like we went around the room, and it was like individually these people knew Steve from, like, one instance that this guy made an impact on that person, and he's convinced now 16 people to go with him to Thailand and, like, work on, like, these awesome farms, like, help people and, like, just have a killer time for 13 days. And, like, one guy's a filmer, one guy's, like, I'm a podcaster, one guy's, like, an entrepreneur. I mean, it is incredible, like, what that guy's kind of done, but it's the same exact thing. Goes back to, like, work with what you have, reach the people you can touch, and just, like, be genuinely happy about it. It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's, like, amazing. Like, that right there in the last, those three examples are all examples that have happened to me in the last 4 months. Like, it's,
yeah.
And that's just because all, like, again, work with what you have.
Right.
You don't really realize how much you have until you really, really put your time into it, or I guess step back now and look at it. It's like, dude, this is, I love it. This is why I love doing this stuff, is because there's so many cool things that come out of this podcast that you'd never even think or imagine.
It's awesome.
It's, and that's, it's
you, you summarized it beautifully of like what we can do with it and what we've been able to, like why
what
we, find
we have done, I guess
what we have done, in the sense of like, we're just out again, back to what my mom said, to provide value. Like, that's been our whole intention behind it. Or we've probably lost more money than we've made in this over the 3 years that we've put the time and effort that we put into it. But at the end of the day, that was never like, it's never been the goal.
Yeah.
And those three instances will provide way more impact than any money that will ever come through.
Right. Yeah. That's, we're the gaining, coolest thing. Exactly. We're gaining stuff that's so far outside and so much more than like a monetary value that it's just, it's amazing. It's amazing.
Well, you guys have created a community of people who before this year wouldn't know exist.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, all the people that you've had on is now so connected in such a way that wouldn't know each other than you guys bringing them in and providing them that platform to share their story and have an impact. Like, I wouldn't hear any of those stories that were so impactful to me and for me if you guys weren't doing what you guys are doing.
Right.
And it goes back to your mission of like, we just want to impact that one person that can take away value from this. And as long as you guys keep doing that, that's where the value is.
That's
right?
Where we win.
Yeah.
And then every day we have a chance to win. Why not win that way?
Yeah, exactly. Damn.
Awesome. Way to that was good. That was really good. Good answer, Deck.
Okay.
That was, yeah.
So I just kept finding other things. I was just like, that these are all connected in some way.
I got a cool project that I'm working on right now. I'm making you guys like a little woo tape.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Yeah. Have you seen the videos or the little teasers?
You that sent them to him.
Yeah. Well, I sent one to you and you didn't respond. I was like, oh, all right.
Shit, dude.
Yeah, man. You just, yeah.
Damn. Sorry, man. Sometimes I forget to respond.
Yeah, you had, I think the little highlight you sent was like a bit of Josh Parks with some like grizz in the background.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah,
it's pretty sick. Yeah.
Dope.
It's just got a bunch of sound bites from all of the tools that we talked about that I've been able to put in my toolbox. I don't want to forget them. And I made the playlist for football and lacrosse. They just like looked at me at the beginning of the year and were like, all right, you're making the pregame playlist. And so I worked in GarageBand and I was all excited because I was like, I want to make this good.
Mm-hmm.
I was getting jacked up. And I've been listening to nothing but podcasts, Back Pocket and Rich Roll since like the last year. I haven't listened to a lot of music, but I listened to the pregame playlist and I was getting super jacked up, like in my car, just going nuts. And I was like, I need to combine this Beats pregame playlist with all of the sound bites that I've learned and that have made me just think deeper. And so I'm putting that together right now.
Right on.
Hell yeah.
But it's gonna be wild. It's gonna be epic.
If you need like show notes of when we said certain things, we've show noted every single episode this year.
Have you?
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And if you need the files, we get that. How have you been? Do you download the files? Is
so
that easy?
What I was doing at first, which is wild, I would go YouTube to MT3.
Mm-hmm.
I download the entire YouTube video. And
you do MP4 as well, like the video aspect?
No.
Okay, just audio.
Just the audio. And a lot of them I knew like where it was, whether it was I wrote it down and just like I'm doing a lot of journaling, reflecting, and so like I'll expand on those ideas. And so I knew where they were in the episode. But some of the newer ones that I hadn't seen yet, I just watch it all the way through, listen through it all the way through. And then there was so much data being put into my files on my computer when I had to delete old photos. And I was like, this is not
going
to
work. Much. Yeah.
And Yoakum's like, why don't you just screen record it? And so I screen recorded it on my phone and just sent that like 15 seconds to, I airdropped it to my laptop and then just did it that way.
Right. So now you can pull the audio from that.
Yeah. I was like, that's so much better than downloading two and a half hours of your conversation with somebody and just cramming up my data.
Right on.
So.
Wow.
It's going to be epic.
Yeah.
It's going to be sick.
No matter what, I'm stoked that you're doing that. Yeah. That's awesome. Thank you, Mark.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you guys are going
to
love it.
Mm-hmm. I'm so excited for that. Goddamn.
I was hoping to have it done by today, but it's just like.
Nah, dude.
Dude, we're all time busy.
I want it to be good, and I didn't, again, going back to the time constraint, I didn't want to put, like, it has to be done by this day and rush it and it not be good.
So. Yeah, yeah. I don't think you have to put any time on it, but, like, if you got it done by December 31st, that'd be fucking dope. We'll drop it then.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's actually really good to know that you're doing something like this. Not that I'll influence you. I'll give you all the tools that you need to make it happen and know where all the different parts are. Because, dude, once you have like this document that I'll share with you, like you'll be able to screen record all the different parts that you want. It'll be very much simpler, hopefully.
Well, it's for you guys, but selfishly, it was for me at the start.
Yeah, because you wanted the sound bites.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, I want to get jacked up for life every day. Like. Mm-hmm. And
I'm so excited to hear that.
Yeah, it's gonna be epic. So
that's awesome.
Hell yeah, dude.
We'll wrap it up with this final question here, Mark. What did you learn today from the moment that you woke up? It's 8:20. We've had a full day.
Wow.
What you learned, brother?
Yo, wait, real quick. We got 6 people on the live stream right now. Yeah. This is a new high.
This is a high moment. Yeah.
We're just talking about sweet nothings.
Yeah, we went from 1 to 6.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible.
We definitely gathered them in here. I don't know how we did it.
Yeah.
I
learned. So I woke up today. I was pretty nervous about coming on.
Really?
Yeah, I was. And I didn't expect to be just because I knew it was just talking to you guys. But I was talking to Yoakum. And he's like, I'm looking forward to your episode so much, kind of hyping it up a little bit.
He said that on the podcast.
I know. And I was like, great. But I didn't want to build this hype and then not meet that standard that was being set. And so I texted my girlfriend today and I texted Yoakum today. I'm like, I got to be honest, I'm a little nervous. Like, and they just like, dude, you're just going to talk about things you're excited about. That's it. And you talk to us about them every single day. And so I learned that it's okay to be nervous, but it's also okay to be vulnerable. And like when you're having that moment of vulnerability to ask people for help and just have that positive reinforcement of just grounding yourself back down and being like, just going to have a conversation.
That is awesome. 'Cause that's been a theme of this whole episode. What you just said there has been said in different versions throughout this whole episode, but you summarized it perfectly. Awesome. I mean, and you got to share that with the woman right now who's closest to you and Yoakum, who's a professional, just mentor as well.
A light bringer.
Light bringer. And you got to share that with them and you got to open it up. And now you're sharing that with us. That's fucking awesome, Mark. Yeah. Good work, man.
Appreciate that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hell of a podcast, brother. You crushed.
I appreciate that. You guys crushed this season. Like, this was awesome this season. And I don't think that I could be sitting here without, like, the opportunities and the things that I'm so excited about going forward without you guys. So I want to say thank you to you guys. And on behalf of all the people from season 3, like, you guys are freaking awesome. So. Yo.
Well, thanks, Mark.
Yeah, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. Always acting like you ain't got the time. I can't imagine trying to carry what you hold inside. But ooh, you got a reason to sing. And ooh, you're finally listening. And ooh, you should go back to the start. 'Cause you can't hold on.